Welcome to the Ralph Moore Podcast. Gain a leadership advantage as Ralph pulls wisdom from his bag of over 50 years' experience in planting and leading multiplying churches. Our goal is to help you live as a leader you'd want to follow. You'll learn about making disciples and planting churches, but beyond that, you'll gain practical wisdom about subjects like how to manage your team, handling difficult people, pulling a congregation off a growth plateau, and even money management.
Hey, welcome to part two of my interview with David Kobian, who is the pastor of Reimagine Church in Los Angeles. This is basically a cluster of house churches, a whole different approach to this whole thing, though. I've got friends like Ryan Delameter, who are doing a micro church all over Orange County and around the world, actually. Jervy Windham is doing this in Texas. David takes a whole different approach, and I think this is very insightful. If you're looking to reach people who seem to be unreached, this is a way of getting to their hearts. Come back and talk to me about if you were doing it all over again and you just had no resources, you had to start in a house, what would you do?
I would do essentially what we're doing, but like you said, maybe start in a house. There's upsides and downsides to being in a house. The upside is it doesn't cost you anything, right? But the downside is it really is a lot, from my perspective, it's a bit harder to invite somebody who doesn't have any background to your house. It feels like, am I going to an Amway meeting or, you know, what's going to happen here? Although once they get there, you know, they loosen up and they feel comfortable with it. But the content that we develop each week, these little 30 minute, I don't even know what to call them, little mini movies is what I call them. Those can be made available to people and they can use those. They can gather and use those so they don't have to worry about the content side of it. And we have folks who, like, we have a little pod that I think is starting in San Antonio with a few people who moved there who are saying, hey, we could do this. We could beam you in on Sundays and just be a part of it. So people can just gather people in their house and do this and have the same experience essentially that we're having. One of the interesting things we've thought about decentralizing this and saying people can meet whenever they want and we'll just send them out the content. And that may be something we do, but the thing that we found is there's a power in people gathering at the same time online, even if they're not in the same room, they feel like they're a part of something bigger, right? So you can gather seven or eight people in your house, basically turn on the TV, watch part of it there, but it's not just that, it's the interaction that you have afterwards, because we have, you know, a half hour of conversation, table conversation, guided questions that people go through to connect. And we're also intentionally, I don't know how to say it, not showy, I guess. It's very like mom and pop. Like when we come on, we're like, hey guys, how's it going this morning? It's not like, you know, we have a big run up and a, you know, intro and it's not highly produced. The videos that we make are good, but basically it's me and my iPhone and iMovie. That's how we do them. Yeah. It's not something that's that hard. So I don't know if I'm answering your question, but yeah.
Oh, you're answering it greatly. You know, as you're talking, I mean, my head just always goes to things. I'm thinking, gosh, there's community colleges that have rooms that would be available on a Sunday morning. So we could be in sync with you. We could do something not in sync with you and borrow your little videos because they're well done. And you got a whole bunch of them and just modify it to our situation. To me, it's that there's power in a larger gathering where we're interacting with a bunch of people and we're getting some content. And then we're coming back in a small gathering, like a table talk. And we're going, what I just heard. And this is what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. And this is how it's going to change my life. If we just got there, and then you're adding this element of spiritual direction, which, again, I'm always thinking on the down low. I it's always been to me, why don't you take this person out for coffee and meet and talk to them about what we just talked about today? Those elements are so rampant in what you're doing, and you're doing it so well. And, you know, I'm thinking I have a couple of friends. One guy is a building contractor in San Diego who's moved to Hawaii. and he's on the big island and kind of in the country. And he's rented a community center once a month on Sunday mornings, and then everything else is done in homes or small groups or coffee shops. Again, Hawaii, on the total other end in Kauai, is a guy who has started five micro churches that are pretty substantial in size. He's a building contractor, and there's just a lot of people out there who there's retired pastors. I went to a small group. I go to a very large church. And I went to one of their small groups the other day, and I talked to some people who were brand new, and I was trying to welcome them into the, well, we're not sure we're coming to this, and we only come to this church maybe once every 4 or 5 weeks, and we watch it online sometimes and all. They're perfect candidates. They need something like this, and this is really exciting to me.
Yeah, and
Talk freely. I'm interrupting
yeah,
you.
let me say a couple of things about I'll come back to the spiritual direction thing, but also the idea of someone sort of watching it online. One of the things that's a little different about what we're doing is that it's not just watching it online. So even if you're online, there's conversation happening online, where like last week we did one of our members is a guy who's just graduated from college, and he's moving off to the Canary Islands to become a to work in a production studio there. And we did a whole kind of litany of farewell thing, like a little liturgy around saying goodbye and sending him off, but we did it online. So there were people in the room with him, but then there were people online interacting with it and speaking into it as we went.
That's wonderful.
So it's not like going to I mean, again, honestly, you can cut this out if you want, but honestly, like when I go to a church and it's a pure video venue, I'm not interested, I'm just not interested. This is more interactive, even though there's a section of it that's video driven. The whole thing, the rest of it is interactive.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, and so
You
that's
can't
why we've
do sit at home in your living room and get anything out of this. It's got to be with a gathering of people. And what I'm particularly after is those guys that are meeting a whole lot of one-on-ones, and they could aggregate, and you're providing a path for aggregating. And then the one-on-one that I'm doing as a disciple maker, suddenly there's less of that on me, because I've got these people actually ministering to the 15 one another's in the New Testament are happening around a table, with a few pastries on the table, or and a cup of coffee, something like that.
So yeah, so it could very easily happen for someone like that. They could use this as a tool for people they're already working with and gather them together in a way that doesn't require a lot of them, right? And is interactive. It's not just like watching a video. It's interactive with other people across the world, in a sense, who are doing this together. The other thing that I wanted to come back to, let me tell you about our spiritual direction thing, because that's kind of a key DNA part of this. I'll tell you what we do, and then I'll tell you about a specific impact that it's had. So the way we do spiritual direction is not the formal way of doing it, which I have great respect for, actually. And some we have several people in our group who are trained spiritual directors, so that helps. But the way we do it is we start with a 30-day experience. So someone comes to me and they'll say, or to a group, we do it either one-on-one or in a group. And they come and they share their story. They go, "This is where I am right now in my relationship with God. And here's what I'm working with in that relationship." And we listen to that together. And then we come back with a, we begin with a 30-day experience where we say, "All right, so based, like the woman who did the celebration thing, based on where you are, here's what I think would be good. Let's try this as a daily rhythm, and then this is a weekly rhythm." We do that for a month, and then the content of the gatherings, whether it's one-on-one or in or more people together in a group, the content of the gatherings, do a little on-ramping sort of centering prayer thing, and then we basically go, "How'd it go this week?" You know, when you tried fasting, how did it work? Did it not work for you? Did it work? And people tell their stories, and it's a very rich time because then they get input in a group, especially from other people who will help them down that pathway and be like, "Oh no, you missed it? No problem. Let's talk about why. I mean, what happened? And you're doing great." It's very encouraging. And again, the language of spiritual direction, the kind of invitational language really helps. I just got through doing a group of students that had just graduated from college, none of whom I knew. I knew one of them before it started. And he said, hey, can I gather a group of my friends and do one of these spiritual direction things? I said, yeah, you know, I'll be happy to do that with you. All of them came from kind of evangelical church backgrounds. All of them had pretty much left that experience out of frustration or any number of other things, but it carried a lot of baggage for them. Yeah. But the spiritual direction thing worked for them because it took the baggage, the old language that they were used to, or maybe even some of the old forms, and it was more interactive. It wasn't just sort of information driven. It was experiential in addition to information. You know, they came out of it saying, wow, this is one of the most high impact things I've done. But the only reason they were willing to engage is because it had new language. It had a different feel. It didn't have the baggage that they carried with them from the past. And I think that's true for the adults who've been doing it with us as well, who have kind of been the duns. I think they're finding, hey, I can do this because the language feels different. It feels more open. It feels more, there's a lot more emphasis on, you know, hearing from God, listening to God. The last thing I'll say about this, part of my reason for doing this is, in my experience, a lot of the discipleship models that we have in the church are based on stuff that came from parachurch organizations, which were great. And especially in their time, they were extremely helpful. I mean, I was so helped by all that stuff. But what I realized as I got older and, you know, had a few years under my belt is that those discipleship models are based on the developmental needs of a young adult, somebody who's like 18 to 22.
Right.
When you're 18 to 22, it's probably a helpful thing to have somebody kind of give you answers, you know what I mean? And kind of give you information that you need. Once you pass a certain point, you don't learn that way anymore as an adult. We need more interactive stuff. We need more wider spaces for people. The typical discipleship models that we follow are based on a developmentally early young adult thing. And people need something more and different than that to help them actually engage, I think, with God. So, yeah.
I want people to really hear what you said. Here was my experience. I grew up in a Sunday school that, you know, from age five, and I always make jokes, and it's not really a joke, out of a high school Sunday school group of about 125 kids by the time I hit high school, and so there's probably more kids in the lower grades in a big church, biggest church in Oregon, and I'm the only kid who's, including my brother and sister, I'm the only kid whose dad made them fill in the blanks of basically what was like a navigator study.
Yeah.
Modified to the thing. I learned the Bible very, very, very well. So then when I became a youth pastor, we used that material, but you're working with high school kids and it worked really well. And then as a pastor, I started a church in right at the height of the whole hippie deal. And I'm real straight, got the white wall haircut, all that. And all of a sudden I got these long hairs in church but they were young. They're mostly college students or kids just out of high school. And we use that kind of material, it navigator material. It worked really, yeah, really well. Then I started discipling some guys that were in their middle 20s. They had careers. They were going places. And we started out with this material, and suddenly it didn't work for us. And mm-hmm. So what we did was we took the next step was, okay, we're going to go through the book, but we're going to go through it together. And so instead of doing a lesson a week or whatever, we'd end up doing a page because it suddenly turned into, this is my life. And this is what this scripture is saying about my life. And then the next step for us was we finally came around and realized we're putting out pretty good content on the weekend. And I was able to, you know, I mean, we're using modern translation of the Bible and all that, but let's use the vocabulary even in reading the scripture that we're reading in the newspaper. So that was, you know, pretty good stuff. And then we got people together in small groups, and instead of watching a video or studying a book or something, we just asked questions about, well, what did the Spirit say to you while you're sitting there listening to all that stuff on the weekend? And sometimes it might be, well, nothing. Yeah. Or, you know, somebody breaks down and starts crying. We don't have to get through the material tonight. It's just you're what's important, and we're sharing life with each other. And I think that the insight that I never had that you just gave me was the material that we were using worked really well at a certain age level. And then it began to not work so well when people are kind of living life and going through the problems, the struggles, the depressions, the anxieties that life has to offer. This is really helpful. I'm learning a lot from you, David. I'm thankful.
Yeah. Well, I think we need that biblical base. We need that foundational stuff to happen. You know, it has to happen differently as we get older, I think. So, yeah.
So I'm going to throw something at you, and that would be, you said we produce some pretty good stuff, but we don't put it on YouTube and whatever. And I'm not sure I would have you put it on YouTube, but I think if you could hang it on a hard drive, and some guy someplace who's going, I want to get people together in a gathering. I'm not capable of producing content, and I know how to make them interact with each other. I would like access to content. I don't want to throw that one.
It's available on we post it on Vimeo, so it's all posted. It's just not in a place that most public people will find it, but we're happy to share it.
So that's really what I'm asking is,
yeah.
If somebody that's listening to this is going, wow, I think I could use that stuff. How in the world are they going to access it? I think that's really important. And then if it's okay with you, I'd like for you to, you know, give us an email address or something where people who are listening to this can go, I want to know more. I need to interact with this man.
Yeah, it's easy. It's david@reimaginechurch.church. And I'm happy to engage again. We're at the point in this thing where we've built the platform, you know what I mean? And we have a good solid kind of to use marketplace terms. We have a good product. Like it's a platform is there. We are still in the process of figuring out how it expands. So we could focus our attention on the digital stuff. We do, in addition to the weekly thing, we do something called the digital daily. It comes out every day. It's just like a little 5-minute thing with music and visuals, and then guided prayers and scripture meditation. So we could really try to expand our footprint digitally and really do a lot of sharing with that. We could also focus in on, hey, let's multiply these pods and see if we can get more people doing this. We could try to grow the pods that we have. We're actually not sure yet which of those directions is going to be best, but because we're in that space, when everybody shows up and goes, hey, we'd like to try this, I'm like, yes. You know, yes. We did something last year called the iPhone Film Festival in LA, where we invited folks to make, because we make an iPhone film every week, right? So we invited people to make, you know, short films on an iPhone, and then we gave away prizes and actually gave money, and we got some industry people involved. It was very interesting. But from that, somebody came and showed up and saw these different films that people had made and kind of what we were doing with it. And they said, hey, we want to do one of these in our house. And we said, great, let's do one in your house. So that was our Hollywood pod that we have now came out of that. And we had not done one in a home before. So, you know, so we're wide open. And I think, I really do think it's pretty easy for folks to engage in this. Just contact me. I'll give you the link. And you can try it by just gathering a group of people in your house and saying, hey, let's just see what this is like if we do this together. See if you do like it. And then, you know, we could talk about other ways we could help. So you could do it as simple as that. What I said to people when I was recruiting them in to really help kind of with the core team thing was I would say to folks, try this with us for 6 weeks, because over the 6 weeks, you're going to understand what it is. Because, you know, it takes a little bit to go, oh, this is the rhythm of it. And how does it work? And how do I interact with people during the week and that kind of stuff? And you kind of find that out over a 6 week period of time. People don't need to do it that long. They can, again, gather a group of people, try it on a Sunday morning, and we'll be glad to resource you with all the stuff. If folks want to find out more or have more conversation about this, or want to be, you know, involved and show up to something, all they have to do is email me, david@reimaginechurch.church. Again, david@reimaginechurch.church. And then, you know, I'll respond. Yeah, that's probably the best way to do it.
Good. Well, thanks for taking the time to do this. I really, really appreciate it.
I'm grateful. I mean, I'm excited about what we're doing, and excited about just being with you and all the stuff that you've done. I'm humbled to be a part of it. So thanks for inviting me on.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to subscribe and check his blog at ralphmoore.net.